It is 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia, and the song is called Highway Tune by our guests this afternoon who hail from the fine village of Frankenmuth. I hope I'm saying it correctly, Michigan. They formed in 2012. By April of 2017, they had released their debut album, or it was actually an EP. It was called Black Smoke Rising. Their debut single that we just played, their Highway Tune, topped the Billboard mainstream rock charts for 4 weeks in a row. Shortly thereafter, a second EP, From the Fires, which had the first four songs from Black Smoke Rising and four more, came out. That was November of 2017, and a new single, Safari Song. And regarding the origins of their name, as the story goes, it happened when one of the members of this group heard a relative mention a resident of their fine village, Frankenmuth, and her name, Gretna Van Fleet, and with her blessing, they were able to alter it ever so slightly to the name we know them as now. They'll be at the Electric Factory Saturday night. Dorothy will be the opening act. She was just on with Preston and Steve earlier this morning. So we welcome on drums Daniel, Danny Wagner. We have Samuel, Sam Kiska, on the bass. On guitar is Jake, Jacob Kiska, and his brother on vocals, Joshua, or Josh Kiska. Their name is Greta Van Fleet. Welcome, you guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Pleasure to have you. Pleasure to have you. Have you been to Philly before?
Once, sort of before.
We've been, maybe across the water.
We've seen it before.
You mean across the water? What does
we
that mean?
We played the Rock Allegiance Festival last year.
Oh, okay. Oh, in Camden. Okay. Right. So you were at Rock Allegiance last year, and it was a flyby.
Right.
Do you have a night off tonight?
Yeah, today we have off. Surprisingly, cool. That's one of those rare occasions.
and how you don't, I don't quite see the burn that I often see in a young band. That road burn. I'm not saying that you don't have it. I just don't quite see it as of yet.
Amazing. I got carpet burn the other day.
Yeah, well,
I don't. Probably the worst case scenario. On my bed I got a rock burn the other day.
A rock burn is a good thing. Very good thing.
I did a knee slide. Okay. I got some knee burns.
I want to ask you about a variety of things and play a couple of songs from the second EP, or I guess you would call it an EP, although but with the eight songs, you can actually now call it a full album, I guess.
The whole thing's very confusing.
It is a bit confusing.
Right? Did that on purpose.
First of all, do you guys remember your first gig? I'm sure you do. Did I say the town right, by the way? Is it?
Yeah.
Frankenmuth?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I'm honored to know that I got that right. secondly of all... any idea what the first gig was, relatively speaking?
First gig. We always talk about the first big one, but I think the first one goes back to just a little house party. I don't even remember where it was.
It was in a garage of a friend's house.
That's a perfect thing.
Yeah.
A garage party for a young garage band, getting things going. You were actually playing so many clubs that you weren't even old enough to drink in.
We usually weren't allowed to be in them.
Really?
Yes.
So may I ask your collective ages?
We got two 19s.
Two 19s.
And Josh and Jake are 22.
Okay.
Three of us are April, you know, birthdays. Okay. So we all just...
What day in April?
Jake and I are the 23rd.
Oh, that's awesome. You're Tauruses.
No, it's awful because you're everybody third, wants to be right? Aries, which is on the third.
But you are Tauruses, and this radio station that you're on right now, WMMR, is a legendary station, and we just celebrated our 50th birthday. And so for a rock and roll station that's local, that's a live and local station, it's a pretty unheard of thing. So
beautiful. Congratulations.
Happy
birthday. Actually, since we have you here, I know you're not going to perform, but could you sing happy birthday to us?
I bet you.
And it's MMR. Wait a minute. Start again.
Oh.
And when you get to happy birthday, MMR. All right. On three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, MMR. Happy birthday to
the W.
Oh, you hit the seven. That was nice. Yeah,
it's hard because WMMR. You know that's six syllables, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, life is complicated.
Sure, it could be one word.
WMMR.
It doesn't have to have any syllables.
If you're just joining us, Greta Van Fleet has joined us. Did I get the story right of this woman, Gretna Van Fleet? Is that correct?
Yeah.
It, Is she an older woman?
Yeah,
is she
upwards of 80-some. Yeah.
Okay. How did you... You obviously got to know her at some point. It's kind of like Leonard Skinner.
Right.
That Leonard Skinner took their name from, who was a teacher in their high school growing up in the South. Did you know the woman, or did you just get to know her after discovering
her
name?
The funny thing is, there's a funny story behind how we met her. We had the name Greta Van Fleet on the marquee. At this hall downtown, Frankenmuth, just where we were going to play during this festival, and she kept getting phone calls, and they were wondering why her name was on the marquee, what was going on down there, and she just had to go investigate and brought her husband and figured out what was going on and just kind of sat in and listened for an older woman to a, like, what, 2-hour rock and roll set, which was then half of the show. But, you know, so that's kind of how we met her. And she gave us her you know, gracious blessing and all of that. It's fantastic.
You have a picture with her, I hope, somewhere.
Yes,
for the archives.
Somewhere.
And she's still with us, right?
Yes.
And did she buy a ticket to that first show?
No. Why would she?
Well, I don't know.
No, then it was probably free anyway, you know?
Yes,
right.
Free.
Please come to our show.
Right.
Well, you don't have that problem Saturday night. The show is sold out at this great hall, another legendary hall, Electric Factory Concerts. They are also 50 years old. They started right before we did in 1968. And it's a legendary building that everyone from David Bowie to Foo Fighters have played in there, and any number of great bands on the rise. So you are in good company with them. So I asked you about the early days. Now I'm wondering what the largest is, and I'm wondering if it's going to be the Download Festival. Will that be the largest, or is there a festival or a group of folks that you've played with in a setting that is gigantic that kind of floored you?
Man,
Summerfest?
I would say Summerfest.
Wisconsin, right?
Because we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
No, none. That's the funniest thing about festivals, when you step out on stage and you have no idea what you're about to face, and there's just this sea of people, you know?
Well, the great thing about that, though, is a festival, we have our own MMRBQ, and somebody might come to see one band or two bands, but get turned on to your sound. Because you're, you know, part of that mix.
Festivals are
a special thing, isn't it?
It's like you walk out of your living room just onto stage, and here's all these people who just love music.
Yeah, that's very true. I want to play another song from the record that I quite like. There's a couple of tunes that are really cool on here. This is Flower Power.
Yeah.
Tell me about this song.
Flower Power. That was kind of came together really instantaneously, you know, I think it was written in a day. Woke up in the morning and Jake had this riff he thought I really liked. And it just kind of reminded me of that folky 60s style kind of music that they were playing, you know, in like that Haight-Ashbury scene and everything. And so I thought this could be a good opportunity as an ode to that scene of that music, you know, because that for me was really influential, that stuff.
Excellent. Let's play it. This is Greta Van Fleet on 93.3 WMMR. It's 93.3 WMMR. The song you just heard is called Flower Power, one of the eight that you can find on From the Fires, the second official EP from the band Greta Van Fleet, who will be Saturday night in our town at the Great Electric Factory, and we have the pleasure of their company right here at this very moment. We have Josh and Jake and Sam and Danny. In your, relatively speaking, you know, young lives as a band, you've had some pretty amazing moments already. You got to open, for example, for Bob Seger. Yeah. I don't know if you were fans of Bob Seger, but, you talk about Michigan, Detroit, Bob Seger. Where is Frankenmuth compared to Detroit, by the way?
It's about an hour and a half north of Detroit.
Okay.
So that's not too far away. We work out of Detroit quite a bit. There's a studio down there, Rust Belt Studio, that we recorded that EP and the double EP From the Fires as well. Mm. So, yeah.
So so being, you know, in the house opening for Seger, did you get to meet him?
Yeah. Very briefly. He was just a very nice guy.
Was he?
It was an unexpected experience because we'd gone in and we'd done our sound check quickly. Or no, they did their sound check quickly. And Seger came in, he was smoking a cigarette, and he sat down on a piano. He started playing Let It Be.
Started singing it.
And it was just this priceless moment. That's this like special point in time where you could see something that no one else has ever seen before. And it was like, It was a really honored, like, really special moment.
And it echoed in this arena.
Yeah. This empty thing that we had all to ourselves to watch, you know?
He got about halfway through the first verse, and his voice cracked up, and he just started laughing.
That's great. Great.
That's when you know it, right?
No, those are the priceless little moments, you know, that you are in the process of witnessing, but also not just witnessing, because I next take you to Elton John and the fact that you guys got to play at his Academy Awards party, which is a legendary party every year. I can't imagine, speaking of being flies on the wall, the celebrity content that was there. But not only that, you played Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, and he got in the group and played with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell
yeah.
me, how, first of all, how'd you get that gig?
It was amazing. We actually had a call from our manager the night before. We were in the studio. We were in Royal Oak. And he's like, you guys are going to probably want to be up around 10 a.m. tomorrow because you're getting a call in from England. And we had heard rumors of doing this party and stuff like that. And we're like, oh, it's probably like, you know, Elton John's management or something. So we all peel out of bed at 10 a.m. in the morning. And
from our schedule standpoint is really early, you know.
No, I get it. Believe me, I know rock time.
Yeah.
I didn't think Jake was going to make that. No,
I didn't either, to be honest with you. And so we got a call in and we answered, and it was like, "Hey boys, it's Elton." And we're like, "Oh my god!" You know,
like, so he's on a speakerphone.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. You sound like this.
It was like morning. Yeah.
All the 1Ks out of our voice.
Yeah. Come on, don't BS us. Who is this really? Is this like the roadie?
But yeah, he's like, you know, I was like, would you guys be willing to play my Academy Award party?
Oh, sorry, we have a dental appointment.
Yeah. Can't make that one.
Maybe next year.
And he's such a very, he's very good on stage. When you play with him, he makes you feel very comfortable, you know? And he's very tender, and he's very rock and roll because he just doesn't give a damn. It's kind of like, you know, he's like, we were trying to go through it, and it was a tricky song because I'd learned the song like the day before, you know, to the best of my ability, you know? And he's like, no, you take the first verse. It's like, are you kidding me? A whole first verse, and then the. So he was just kind of going at it, and it was good with the way he did it. And he goes, if this is a train wreck, I like those too, you know?
Yeah, essentially, it's going to go one way or the
He's
other.
He's just very rock and roll. He just kind of, you know.
So you at least got to practice it with him, do a sound check of some kind.
Yeah, luckily.
And but so I'm thinking it's cool that you're playing Saturday Night and he's joining you, but extra cool that you're playing your song, You're the One, and he joins you on your song.
Absolutely. Right.
I mean, I can get goosebumps from that, and I wasn't there, and I don't even know you guys at this point, but I mean, how cool is that?
That's really amazing.
Incredible. Yeah. He describes it as his one day off a year, and he wants us to have all the creative liberty over it. So it was really weird, like, telling Elton, like, what to do in certain parts.
Yeah,
and I'm like, here.
No, pull back there, Elton.
Sir Elton, I think here is where you're going to want to explore the piano.
And did he sing? Did he trade off vocals with you, or?
Yeah, for both songs, just on his.
Okay.
Yeah. And he had this funny way of doing the chorus because he'll go Saturday nights, all right for fighting, and it always threw me off. It was like, well, this now it was recorded.
No, you're not doing it right.
And you catch on really quick, you know.
Oh my god.
Yeah, actually, he also dropped in. We did two shows
in London, right?
So we dropped by on the first night and came down before and after. And, wow. Yeah, so it was really cool.
Yeah, and you could see him up there on his perch, you know, with this little. Of course, they had to keep people away. From
he's a queen and he needs his throne.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a compliment, by the way.
Yes.
I think he's the greatest. I really love him. He loves young bands.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. You wouldn't. Sometimes it's surprising when you find out who he's played with. He did piano on with Alice in Chains a couple of albums ago, and I mean that's not. They're going to be on our festival in a couple of weeks. That's not a band you would think Elton John would know or even play with, and yet he was so eager. Collective Soul live in Atlanta, where he has a home with his husband David, and he has become really good friends with them, and just hangs out and is more than happy to play on an album if they ask him. And about you guys, Elton John said, quote, these guys are so talented, they take my breath away. Damn. Ooh,
amazing.
It's a goosebumper.
Amazing.
Wow. I mean, I should say. And last thing about the Elton party, you know, so your young eyes are wide open just a couple of snapshots of who you saw celebrity-wise and how that might or might not have blown you away.
Well, there was all kinds of people. But I mean, Miley Cyrus was there.
They put us in a corner because we're very loud.
Yeah, no, but see, but you walk, is like, oh, that's quite a nice outfit. And then you realize he's wearing it when you look up, you know, and that's the funny thing, you know?
So you notice the outfit first.
Yeah, you do.
And the starlet second.
And there's all this lavish, you know, ballroom environment and everything. So it's just kind of like, it's all just painted on. It's
atmospheric. Lacquer.
It's after the show, though, after the ceremony, right? So people who have won Oscars are there with Oscar in hand, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like crazy because there were people in the room that were just, you know, very involved with the actual Academy Awards, you know, and what was going on.
Yeah, because some of those people didn't know whether or not they had actually received, you know, Academy Awards before they actually watched it, you know? And so they're going, yeah! And so jumping up and the chairs are flying everywhere and we're going.
It was a scene. It was something very odd that you wouldn't expect in your lifetime you'd see. You know, it's like, well, that wasn't on the bucket list, but I'll check it off.
I want you guys to be freezing these moments. I mean, you know, just freeze these moments to the best, you know. I noticed you have a photographer following you around, but freeze these moments in your head because those are the best places you're going to hold them. Yeah. We're speaking, if you're just joining us, with Greta Van Fleet, who played the Electric Factory in a sold-out show Saturday night. I have not seen you guys, and I'm dying to see you. I want to play another song that I quite like from the record, and it's the last one. It's Black Smoke Rising.
My favorite.
Is it really?
That one never gets old live. There's a lot of songs. It's like, okay, we're going to play this one again. And we have to go through and kind of change things up to make it more interesting. But Black Smoke, every time. There's something about it that's very magical about playing it.
Yeah. That's the name of the first EP, I guess.
Yeah. Is there anything you'd say about it that moved you at the time you wrote it, or
it's
continues
still
to move you now?
Singing it will get me riled. You know, it's just like one of those lovely songs that's kind of, for me, about, and I usually don't like to talk too specifically about songs, you know, so people can take away what they need from it, but it's, for me, kind of this, kind of about the lessons of history. And Aldous Huxley put it, too, the greatest lesson of history is that man does not always learn from the lessons of history. And it's about all of these archetypes, you know, the mutiny and
the tower
and oppression and a lot of major human themes. Yeah.
All right. Well, let us play it. It's Black Smoke Rising. It is Greta Van Fleet on 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. WMMR, and that is Greta Van Fleet. The song is Black Smoke Rising, another of the tunes from their second EP, From the Fires, and cool album artwork with a kind of a hobbit-like painting of a forest and a fire in there, and four figures in cloaks, or is it five figures, I think, sitting around the fire?
Yeah.
There are four of them.
And the storyteller.
Four. And the storyteller.
Okay. Tell us about the storyteller.
The storyteller. That's another archetype. we all grow up listening to stories and pass on history, you know, verbally, and taught lessons from days past, and there's always the storyteller, you know, the preachers or the you know, that kind of thing. Your grandmother.
The elders.
Right, the elders, all of that kind of, the storytellers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Many of them. You might be.
Oh, I've got a lot of stories. Yeah.
Love to hear them, you know.
Well, all in good time. Yeah. We've just started to know each other. And we'll have a drink after the show Saturday, and then I'll tell you some stories. Upon a time, we had a show one time, and a listener came up to me. It was like some loud rock show, and he goes, Pierre. I go, yeah. He goes, will you just tell me a story?
That's great.
And I said, all right, sit down. In fact, lay down. And there was this perch, and he lay down. And you know, once upon a time, there was a hippie from San Francisco. That's great. He listened to the Grateful Dead, and he was in the mosh pit at Green Day. And he made it to Philly somehow, and they all live happily ever after. He goes, dude, that was so amazing. We're here with Greta Van Fleet. A couple things before we let you go. I love some of the pictures I have found on your Twitter page, which are historical in nature. So there's one of Danny in the early years playing a guitar.
Oh, hey, look.
In pajamas.
In pajamas.
How old would you guess you were there, Danny? And you are the drummer of the band, but you're playing a guitar, which is almost bigger than you are.
That's my first guitar. I was probably 6 or 7 there.
And you've got cartoon pajamas on.
Pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
You say, oh, in Detroit, like, you say pajamas?
I got some Johns on, yeah. Johns.
Oh, right. You learned that word.
We're in the North, yeah. Pajamas.
I'm from California. I say pajamas, but I've been here 36
pajamas
years.
Pajons.
Pajons.
All right, so they learned the word Johns on the way over.
Yes,
Sarah
we did.
Drove them over.
No, we won't stop Johning it.
What is the John thing all about, anyway?
John is anything you would like it to be. If you're going to grab your coffee cup that's across the room, you could say, hey, Alex, can you grab me that, John?
J-A-W-N.
J-A-W-N, yes. But yeah, you can use it for anything. I mean, it's basically how anybody from Delaware County says the word John. It's just John. So everybody from Delco was out to see the John Bon Jovi show last week.
Well, Johnny. In fact, Pancake and I we had Bon Jovi play for our 50th birthday party just the other night at the big arena here. And Pancake was wearing a shirt that said J-A-W-N.
Yeah, you were briefed then at that
time. Well, yeah, I've been hearing the word John, but I've never embraced it, per se.
Yes,
he did that in honor of John Bon Jovi, who spells it J-O-N. Any rate, so this great picture of Danny. Then there are the two pictures. It's entitled Winter Memories, and the brothers are playing little baby... what are they? Accordions.
Accordions, yeah. Our grandfather was an accordion player, so they thought it would be really neat if we had some accordions. It looks like we're panhandling with... You see that little tin mug?
Oh, yeah.
But what's not spoken in here is how probably horrific this sounded to the elders.
It's probably just horrid.
Because they...
Surprised the windows are still
there. They were writing flower power.
Right.
Now, here's one I really like recently. I don't know where this is, but this made me so proud of you because I love albums. And I do a vinyl feature every day called The Vinyl Cut. And... I think
God
there's
bless
a beauty
you.
to the entity of a vinyl record.
Yeah.
And I hope when the full length stuff comes out, you will always, as the cool bands still do, release in vinyl.
Absolutely.
But there's a picture of the four of you in a record store. Where is the where is it? Do you remember?
It was in Ohio,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so I'm assuming you all have turntables in vinyl?
Yeah. We go every time what we can. It's a common stop to peel off and go to like a record store whenever we're in a town.
You find some of the most beautiful obscure stuff, you know? Like I never find Miriam Makeba in just any sort of like CD, you know, format. But that's the stuff you get where you go diving in there and find some amazing stuff.
But see, that's the beauty of going to a record store because you might, like going to a festival, go to see one band but get turned on to another.
Right.
You go into a record store, I'll get the new one from, you know, Greta Van Fleet. And then you go, oh, look at that. I'm going to try that. Oh, I'll have a little of that. I'll have that on my plate and that on my
right.
And you get turned on to stuff. And the beauty of the album is that you get an entire album, as in photo album, of that artist's creation as opposed to just downloading one song that has no pictures to it, that has, it's, you know, it's cool. But it's nowhere near as cool as the whole package.
Those things never get soul.
You never
get
the full depth.
There's a soul to
it. In that case, you play it all the way through from top to bottom, and you understand.
My goal is usually to find the record that probably only 10 people in the world have ever heard.
Good.
Just some craziness.
So what's an example of that you found recently?
There's this band called Nucleus, which is kind of like a prog rock organ band.
Yeah, I just say very prog.
It's some of the most insane music I've ever heard.
It doesn't mean it's good.
That's Sam speaking, by the way, who plays bass with the band. And what's it called again? Nucleus?
Nucleus, yeah, it's their debut album, 1969.
But don't tell anyone, or else it won't be so rare.
Right. What were you going to say, Danny?
69 was the year.
It was 69.
Okay, cool.
Can't say that on the radio.
And the last picture I want to reference, and people can find all these pictures by going on at Greta Van Fleet on Twitter. But what I love is this picture, and what it says is, this is dated May 4th, thank you to the Detroit Music Awards for bestowing these honors upon us. We wish we could have been there, but sent our moms to accept on our behalf.
Yeah.
It's so cool. It's a picture of your moms who were... Who are these people in this photograph?
Yeah, that's our mother, and then Kathy Vargo in the center is, I believe, one of the
promoters
for the Detroit Music Awards, and then Lori on the left, which is Daniel's mother.
Cool.
Yeah, beautiful people.
That's so often, but you know. I mean, the idea, because you're still not old enough to drink, right?
Well,
two of us aren't.
Okay. But the funny thing is, you know, we're always on the road anyhow, and how are we gonna have time to
No,
do that?
I get it. But it's so cool that you got this award from the Detroit Music Awards, and you can't get there. But Mom.
Yeah.
Mom's went. I think that's awesome. It reminds me of when Ben Affleck and Matt Damon won their Academy Awards, and they were nominated that very first year, and they took their mothers. Each of them took their mothers.
Was that for Good Will Hunting?
Yeah, for Good Will Hunting. Yeah. So cool. Before we let you go, there's one other story that I read about you, Josh, where, and I guess you were on the radio in Chicago, and you leaned over, I guess you were playing, doing a live appearance on that radio show, and you were reaching over your tambourine. And out of your pocket fell several colored pills.
Yeah, man.
And many eyebrows were raised going, he's very young to be dabbling in all of those chemicals.
Dabbling. The way it looked like a very professional thing. Like you were like, this is like a pastime of yours. But if you care to elaborate on it.
What was it really, Josh?
I think there was probably, it was all vitamins. There was multivitamins and vitamin D in there. God knows some vitamin C. And then, I don't know, it just rolled out. And I thought, geez, you know, what are they going to, you know, misinterpret this time?
It was all just vitamins. It looked like vitamins, the kid is starting way too early. This is a dangerous path.
And not just that. Wow, that's way too much. You know,
the last thing is the comparison. You've heard it a million times and I don't want to say it again, but yet why you sound so much like the Stones is what everybody wants to know why. I mean, you know, your Mick Jagger moves and the way you know, Jake are doing the Keith riffs.
Elvis. Yeah.
And Danny, you imitate Charlie Watts, you know,
really? I thought we got the Who quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, I know Pete was an influence, but, you know, obviously the Zeppelin thing comes up.
You did an interview with Pete, right?
Well, yeah, Pete is one of our faves here. You know, you might want to learn Brown Sugar if you're going to keep doing
this. Yeah, that's true.
That's all I'm saying.
Get what they want.
One last thing. I'm not even going to go there with the rest of it. We'll talk about it some other time.
Yeah, we'll head on.
Because you've hit it 18 billion times, so we're going to avoid that question here. The last thing is a quote I read, which says, I think, Josh, you said this, and I love it. You said, rock and roll to us is liberation, a reminder that we as human beings have a voice. I love that.
Yeah.
Says it all right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Would you like to elaborate?
It's somewhere in the core. That's what
you don't have to. I mean, I think it's a nice closing note because, Bruce used to close his shows by saying, I'm a prisoner of rock and roll. You know, and Sam, you were talking earlier about, you know, you're already getting used to playing some of these songs and you're going to be playing them for the rest of your life. And so the question is, how do you keep them fresh and keep them alive? Because everyone's going to want to see them. Yet, you know, how do you keep it alive? And the fact is, sometimes you'll go to do something and you go, oh, right, this is why I do this. And you're reminded of how special it is. Yeah. We here on the radio get that. You know, I think Bruce gets that when he says, I'm a prisoner of rock and roll. And the Stones, you go to see them and they might do one new song in a 2.5-hour set. But every one of those songs, if it's 40 years old, sounds like it came off the presses yesterday. And there's something that speaks to that rock and roll as a lifestyle. Rock and roll liberates us. It speaks to us. For those who get it, it flows through your bloodstream. And you clearly have got it at a very young age. So
music
good for you.
Music makes pictures and often tells stories. All of it magic and all of it true. And all of the pictures and all of the stories. All of the magic. The music is you. John Denver spoke that.
Amazing. I love John Denver.
Oh, he's my God. He's my man.
Yeah. I loved him. I saw him twice. Oh, my God. Looking for Space, one of my favorite songs from him. Anyway, we'll go on that another tangent another time. We want to thank you guys so much, Sam and Josh and Jake and Danny. Their name is Greta Van Fleet, along with Dorothy. They will play a sold-out show for us on Saturday night at the Great Electric Factory. And we thank you for spending some time with us at MMR.
Thanks for having us. When the album comes out, we're going to have a full day marathon here.
No, I want you to come by and bring it. We'll play it on vinyl.
Yeah,
and
maybe
maybe next time you come by, we can get you to play for us in the studio if you're so inclined.
Thank you, Pierre.
All right, thank you so much. We'll close with this one you might have heard called Safari Song on MMR.